Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Take your seats. Hey, are we going to have some fun in the house this morning? Are we going to have some fun? All right, well, we're going to practice leaning in, all right? We're going to practice leaning in. Not yet. Andy's always very keen. All right, not yet. Okay, all right. I want you now just to practice, watch your forehead on the chair in front of you. I just want you to practice leaning in for me. Just want to lean in, and that's it, lean back. Jan, that's not, a bit further. Oh, she's got a bad back, sorry, yeah. And then lean back, relax. Just practice tapping your neighbour and saying, good point, yeah, good point. There you go. All right, good, we're there. It's good to be in the house this morning. Is it good to be in the house? It's an amazing privilege for me personally to be able to speak some of the truth and promises of God over my life. And I believe these promises and these truths are for your life as well. And I thank God for the foundation that he's given me and the strength that he's given me for when I can't, he can. And that's my position this morning. I want to get to a point where we see God's promises come alive in our own lives. And we take them on board for ourselves because he is real and he's able. And that when we come to the end, that's when he begins. And his strength comes in our weakness. And I believe that this morning. Do you believe that? Yeah. And so what I want us to do just before we start, I want us to just pray. And I want us just, as we do this, to bring an expectancy into our minds of what God is about to do in our own lives. You know, as we read his word, as we read his promises, I want us to believe that they're for us. And just right where you are, just close your eyes. I want to pray this morning. God, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your... Agree, if you agree, then speak it. God, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you that your presence changes us, that it changes our lives inside and out. We thank you that you care for us and your concern is for us. And Lord, as we delve into your word this morning, God, as we dive in, Lord, we just ask that you'd reveal something of your heart for us as individuals, God. Lord, let us see something new of you. Let your Holy Spirit change us from inside out. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here now. And Lord, we expect something of you this morning. Amen. Amen. You see, I want us to discover this morning the God of the constant. The God that is never changing, always available, always reliable. A source that brings consistency in our inconsistency. And I want to draw, and this is my aim this morning, I want to draw your the constant characteristics of our Heavenly Father to strengthen us and to bring his promises of the Bible alive. Alive, they're not just words, they're alive this morning. And I was just thinking about this, God's constant nature in our inconsistency. And life is inconsistent, would you agree? Some of us agree. Well, I definitely agree. Listen, like just before the holidays, I was thinking about a trip that I had abroad, and I was part of my privilege of my job is to be able to travel to different countries, and I was visiting three countries in 4 days, and I like to be quite organised and planned. I don't know if you've noticed that, Nick. No, okay, a little bit OCD from time to time, and I was going to Switzerland and Luxembourg and somewhere else that I can't remember. And I like to be organised, but the frustrating thing was this week, I was late for every appointment. Don't take photos. Is that for Facebook? It's for Facebook as well. Shocking. Facebook, Instagram, any others that are out there as well, just in case any licensing people listening. And I went to these different countries and... I was 3 hours late, 4 hours late, 2 hours late. I was halfway there, then the plane had to turn around and go home again. And we had to pick a new plane that could fly. And so we went back again. The rudder got changed. I helped them out with that. And what frustrated me is I had a really important board meeting as well at the end of that week where people had been flowing in from all across the place. And I was 4 hours late. 4 hours late for my slot. It's shocking, isn't it? And the thing is, it wasn't my fault. Well, that's the thing about life. It throws things at us that aren't our fault. It throws things at us that we don't expect. And I was just picking points from this because, boy, was I grotty. I speak to my wife about that. And these situations got the better of me. I allowed this inconsistency of my world around me to get the better of me. I allowed it to change the way that I was being, my attitude, my behavior, the way I was thinking, the way I was speaking. And I forgot to press the big pause button on my life. And I allowed it, the inconsistency of life, to change the way I was. Do you get that? Has anybody else ever been like that, where things just... Gary, definitely. We'll pray for you at the end, Gary. All right. look, I agree. I agree we have to acknowledge the challenge or the change. But we don't allow it to dictate who we are. Acknowledge, but don't accept. And this morning, I want to bring some promises of God to our lives that allow us to acknowledge the challenges and changes in our world, but not to accept them. Because as we allow him in, his constant nature brings a consistency to our lives that we can't bring ourselves. It's amazing, isn't it? And we have the same decision to make, whoever we are, wherever we're sat this morning, we all have the same decision to make. Do we allow the challenges and changes to mold us, or do we make the decision to invite in a God who can bring a consistency back? You know, this morning is about finding the answer. And there is an answer to the inconsistency that we find in life. And the true you comes to the surface when you find yourself in him, and in a constant nature. All right. Because his character is unchanging. He is amazing. He's never ending. He's the start and the finish, the Alpha, the Omega, the strength, the fortress, the rock, the stronghold, our deliverer, our prince of peace. If you can't get that excited about that, you've got to get excited about that, church, because this is the God that we know this morning. And there's just one thing you need to do, and that is just ask. You know, right the way through this message, all you've got to do to find God's consistency, to find his constant nature, is to ask him for it, to invite him in. Right at the beginning of this message, that's all you've got to do. The Bible says just ask. And because we do all need God in our lives, because life chucks things at us, and sometimes it sticks to us. And we pile it into our rucksack, and we pile the challenges and the emotions into our rucksack, and we take it with us, and it causes us to be heavy laden. And I've got a truth for you today, church, that God wants us to be free, light, ready to run the journey. And it's a great promise. It's a great promise. And he's with us, and he's with us through, in, and to the finish of our challenges. And that's that God I believe in this morning. Amen? All right. Okay. So, today, in your notebook or in your mind, the thing you've got to be remembering is this, that we don't only see ourselves now in our circumstance, but as we step through these promises, we see the strength from our Father that swoops down in every circumstance, not because of what you do, but because of who you belong to. And God is going to help you. Why? Because he made you. You're his masterpiece. He created you this morning, church. And he wants to be the consistency in your life. He wants to bring the constant nature of his promises right to where you are. All right? Good. No matter how much we try, life isn't consistent. And we can't be consistent 100% of the time. We're not perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I was just asking my wife then. She definitely says I'm not perfect. But the truth is, this morning, we serve a God that is perfect, that is able. And as we step into his word, we allow the Holy Spirit to change us from inside out, which is amazing. And thankfully this morning, our salvation doesn't depend on our perfection. And that's why God is here to help today. That is a promise that he's with us. And our pursuit to become more Christ-like depends on one thing, our decision to invite him in. Our decision to say, God, I cannot do this on my own. Things are piling on top of me. You know, I've got uncertainty and challenge, and I need you. And when we say to him, yes to him, he's ready and he's able. Good? Yeah. It's good. And I know you're still with me. So I've realized something myself, and that is that without God in my life, I am nothing. I am. I can try so hard to do everything myself, but I've realized without his strength in my life, there is an inconsistency that I can't be in control of. It's outside of my control. And the Bible verses that I speak about this morning are the things that have become the strength and foundation of my life. They're real to me. And God's revealed them to me in my time of challenge and weakness, because he wants to bring his constant nature to me. And the Bible says this in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Should be on the screen, yes. Do you not know? Have you not heard? By the way, God's speaking to you here. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And this is the decision here. But those who hope in the Lord, hope is a choice. Hope is a decision that we make, to hope in the Lord. We'll renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will find, and I'll add something here, they will find their consistency again in a constant God. Today we learn that God is constant. We need to stop worrying about what we're not and begin to discover and think about what our Father in heaven is, because it's that that sets you free. Amen. So point one, and you're going to think I'm crazy. This is a crazy point. And I wrote it and I thought, I'm going to say it anyway. Number one, you need to turn your boomerang into a stick. Okay? You got that? I did actually say that. All right? Don't panic. And I'll come back to that just to explain that I've not just said that for no apparent reason. But I was we took the kids to Apple Jack's, which is a farm out in Warrington. And we did that beginning of the summer holidays. And we got a Groupon deal. Anybody got Groupon? It's amazing, isn't it? You get like 99% off, which is awesome. And so we got a Groupon deal for Apple Jack's, and we took the children there, two boys there, and we went for an adventure day out. The thing about Apple Jack's, it's all in the open, all right? It's just a field in the middle of nowhere. And so we paid, the weather let us pay first, as it always does, and then as soon as we got in, the heavens opened, all right? Which I didn't appreciate. And so we were on the park, and we were trying to shield ourselves from the rain and go under the... Do you know the climbing frames? I was actually inside one of the little houses, my head poking out, because I was trying to escape the rain. But it got to a point where I was wet through, soaking wet. Have you ever been in the rain when you get soaking wet? And you come to the end of your tether, don't you? It's the end of the rope. It's the end of the line. You're that wet, you just take your hood down and you walk through every puddle and you accept that you cannot get any wetter. Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been there? It's the English weather, isn't it? Definitely. But that happened to me. And God reminded me of this, because at the time I was not in a happy place. So God brought it back to my memory a few weeks later after I dealt with it. And because I didn't enjoy spending 7 hours in the rain. That's it. There's no other reason for it than that. And the kids loved it, though. And so God reminded me of this story. And sometimes in life, we can get to the end of our rope. We can get to the past caring stage, like you do when you're soaking through in the rain. You can get to that point in your life where the storms come. And the raging storms come, the winds blow, and you think, that's it. Nobody cares about me. That's how I felt. I felt like nobody cared. It wasn't that bad. I'm dramatising that a little bit, just for all the art students and the drama students in the room. They're feeling it. They're feeling the emotion of it. But I got to the point where, we get to the point where sometimes we think nobody cares. When things come, we hit the road Monday morning in our car and we think nobody thinks about our challenges. Nobody cares about what we're doing. We get to the end where we put the hood down and we walk through the puddles, because that's it. But church, that's a lie. That is a lie today. There is a God that cares for you, and his care is never ending. You know, when we come to the end of our rope, when we come to the past caring stage, and we come to the stage of might as well not bother, there is a God that cares. And so I want to explain my point now to you about the boomerang. Because so often we think that God is not big enough to take our cares and concerns. And we wrap them up and we throw them to him. And we ask God for his help and his care. And then we expect to catch them back in the other hand. Because so often we pass our cares and concerns to God, and then we try and deal with them ourselves. Have you ever been there? We think, God, God, I need you in this situation. I need you. The way this is happening is not right. We throw it to God, and then we expect it back. And we turn our cares and concerns into boomerangs. But this morning, there's a truth that God wants us to change our boomerangs into sticks where we throw them to him and don't expect them back. Because he is big enough. He is able enough to take our challenges and be with us and provide a constant consistency to our lives. Agreed? Yeah. And it's a habit that we all have. It's a habit that we all have. We all think, we all pray, we all ask God, and then we try and deal with it ourselves. Agreed? Look, I can't be on my own. Well, if I am, I'm in big trouble. But we've got to learn to leave our cares and concerns with him. And there's one foundational reason that he cares, that we can do this, is because he has a constant love for us. That's it. That he cares enough about us that he will take care of. He knows every little detail of our lives, and he's ready and able. The Bible says this in Psalm 55:22. Give your burdens to the Lord. Or cast. Some versions say cast your burden. And I took Alfie fishing during the summer. And we were learning all about fishing. Pretty cool. We did well. We caught 5 fish in 16 hours. And we were casting the line out. But it takes everything within you to cast out the line. And I was teaching Alfie how to cast. I was doing an average job. But this is what the Bible says. It says, cast out, give, throw, push, shove, take here and put here. Take from here and pass here. It means kick away. It means throw out your cares and concern and cast, push, throw violently your cares to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Full stop. And he will not permit the godly to slip and fall. We think, oh, godly, wow, that's not talking to me, because godly, that's a pretty big word. But he is talking right to you today, because godly, aka righteous, right standing through the blood of Jesus, you and I, when we decide to invite him into our lives, aka you and me. The Bible is talking to you and I. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly, you and I, to fail. That's amazing. That tells me that he cares about me. And I want you to stick a post-it note on the door of your heart at this point. God cares for you 100% through the thick and the thin, through the ups and the downs, and he's eager for you to put what you're carrying onto him, good or bad, or indifferent. See, we had some amazing news last year that turned into terrible news. And we found out that we were expecting our third child. It's true, yeah, it did happen. So this time last year, we found out that we were pregnant. And what happens when you find out that you're having a child is that you begin to dream and you begin to imagine everything about their life. You begin to think about what they're going to become, whether it's a boy or a girl, what their life's going to entail, what challenges they're going to have, what successes they're going to have, what failings they're going to have, where you're going to be in their life, what you're going to be doing for them, how you're going to be encouraging them. Do you get the idea? You begin to think about how you're going to change the house around. We need another room here. And your life, and your mind goes wild with the anticipation of the good news. True? Anybody had children know that feeling? And I'm the same. I was, yes, wow, yes, let's go. And I remember the dreadful day. We were driving to Preston. I think John and Amelia were in the car, and Beth was in the car as well. Oh, that was some drive home, wasn't it? I wouldn't wish that back. Ever. But we had the phone call from Nick, and we were just on our way to Preston, and the phone call came from Nick. I think I'm having a miscarriage. And at that point, the atmosphere, first of all, in the car went from happy to sad, real sad. And it came to, and I remember even now, the emotions began to run wild in my life because of what I'd already expected and the dreams that I got that were suddenly being taken away. And that's a challenge. And if you've been through that circumstance and challenge, God still cares. And this is something I had to learn for myself. And for a while, I put these emotions into my rucksack of life. I chucked them in, and I carried on the journey. And what it made me was agitated, stressed, and frustrated. But you see, when your life meets the promise of God, he eliminates the power of the challenges that you come across in your life. Look, we have to acknowledge, as I've said, we don't deny what is the challenge in our lives, but we can invite the promises and the power of God in. And so it was a challenge for us. And I can't lie. Emotions are something that God gave us to be able to feel. And we felt. We did. And he wants to make our journey lighter and free and remind us that he's got us in his hand. And he showed me this verse, Matthew 11:28-30. And it rang true with me. It did. And I was, are you light? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Could stop there. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, God cares today. God cares so much that he wrote in his word the promise that when we spend time and company with him, that he brings rest to us. Amazing. It's amazing. It's so simple. You know, the only responsibility we have in this verse is to keep company with him, is to lean on him, is to spend time with him. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly, because that's what God wants. He made you so you could live freely and lightly. When we allow God to take on our challenges and cares and concerns, when we cast them out to him, we become a strength and a pillar for other people. Because they just see you, you're freer, you're lighter, you're holding on to something that's constant. And they see that the promise of God come alive in your life. And it's one thing to tell people the promises of God, but you know, it's so powerful when you go through something and when you rely on God, for people around you to see it working. And when we invite him in, he doesn't think about it. He doesn't put it as tentative. He doesn't ever put it as a TBC. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. we don't deny the challenges, but when we bring them to God, we disarm them. We disarm their ability to change us in the incorrect way. Good? Yeah. Good? Number two, plant your feet in love. It's a bit, love is a big word, isn't it? The Bible says this. If I speak in the tongues of men, this is Paul speaking, if I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. That bit's about us there. Then in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I don't know about you, when I read that verse, I always look inward. I do. I always look inward about what challenges I face in giving love. But do you know what Paul's actually talking about? He's talking about the love that he experiences of God in his life. So let's read verse 4 again and replace love with God. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. And he always perseveres. You see, when Paul talks about this love, he's talking about a love that he's experienced for himself, which is amazing. And that love is available to you and I today. And we forget that verse. We read that verse and we look at our own insecurities and our own need to love better. True? But this morning, church, I want you to experience God's love through this verse. Because his default is a constant love. His default for your life is a constant love. And I know in my own life, I get easily angered and agitated and become a little bit of a Tell him to call you back. I become a bit of a snappy crocodile when I'm not experiencing God's love in my life. Because it needs a top up. You know, not because I'm unaware, but because I forget. And we're all so forgetful that we need so to scatter our lives with the post-it notes of reminders of how good God's love is for us. And that takes from us the challenge of reading his word, the challenge of coming and taking him at his word. And when I discover that the love of God in my life again, when I remember that he's not easy anger, that he always protects me, he always trusts me, always hopes, I'm good to go again. I'm good to go again. And this is what the Bible says. It says that even though the mountains be shaken, the hills be removed, his unfailing love for you will never be shaken, Isaiah. We forget how good his love is. And even through the inconsistencies and waves of life, his love still stands firm. And I remember even in my own life how good God is. And he loves us for no other reason than he loves us. And it's a simple truth. And I remember when I was 16, 17, and I asked God for an electric violin. I did. I play the violin. Don't laugh. I can see some of you laughing. It's a real, you know, manly instrument. And I said to God, Lord, I haven't got enough money, but I want an electric violin. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And I said, Lord, I didn't even do the whole thing like, if you are real, all this kind of stuff. I thought, I'm not going to test him. That'd be a bit harsh to do that. I don't know what the Bible says about that. So I didn't test him. I just said, Lord, can I have a violin? Please. I did say please as well. I remember, it's pretty please, I think I said. And I said, amen. And then forgot about it. Didn't tell anybody. I just carried on life as usual, as you do. And thinking, that was a crazy prayer. It's another funny story about me asking God for something, actually. I'll tell you very quickly. I asked him to heal my eyes because I'm short-sighted. And one morning I awoke to clear vision. And I thought, wow, God, you are good. And then 10 minutes into waking, I felt a certain pain coming across my eyeballs. I'd realized I'd left my contact lenses in for 24 hours. And there were probably 8 hours use in them. So I'm sure God was laughing at me, thinking, you thought I'd healed you. You did. But you forgot your contact lenses. So that was quite funny. But on this occasion, God did actually come through. Hallelujah. Which is amazing. It did come through. And one of my friends, and it's amazing how God uses people, isn't it, to show his love. Isn't it amazing how God uses his people? He uses your friends around you, your family, to show your love. Let's not forget that. That feeling we get when our friends tap us on the shoulders and encourage us. That's something, a glimpse of the love of God for us. And one of my friends took me to a music shop. I'm thinking, oh, man, I need to go home. It was Meadowhall, it was Sheffield. If you've ever been to Meadowhall, we used to call it Meadow Hell because it's just full of people, too many people. And he took me to a shop and said, Jono, today, God's told me. I'm like, hang on. God's told me, I'll wait for it. It's not another contact lens situation here going on. God's told me to buy you an electric violin. I was like, wow, hello. First thing, I have to be honest because I'm human. The first thing I thought was, where is the most expensive? Is this the right shop in town to buy my, is there a Stradivarius available? All right. For those that don't know, that's like a really posh violin. Worth thousands. I'm so cool. And he took me to the counter and we chose a violin, and it is one that I wanted for a long time. It's way out of my price point. And you know, right in that, I still remember it 10 years later, 12 years later. Remember at that point, whoosh, the love of God in my life. And he did it just because. And it's the same for you. He does stuff just because he loves you. The same way we do for our children and our husbands or wives, we do stuff just because. And when we learn that love in our lives, we begin to do things for those around us just because. Because we've experienced it for ourselves. And it's amazing. Even now I'm surprised at how good God is in our weakness, in our inconsistency. He still comes through. And in Ephesians 3:17-21, it says this: I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. You see, he's already waiting. He's already at your front door. He already knows our address. He knows where we're living. And he's waiting patiently for you to accept him. He's waiting patiently for you and to invite his love into your life. And ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take it with all followers of Jesus, the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Reach out, experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. You see, when we experience God's love, we plant ourselves in something that's immovable. You know, it's always the fallback for every challenge of life. You have a consistency running through your life that doesn't waver and doesn't wander, and that's God's love. Amen? Psalm 136:2 says this: Thank God, he deserves your thanks. His love never quits. Thank the God of all gods. I love the word thank as well, because when you become grateful and you show gratitude, it opens your eyes to what you've got. Thank the God of all gods. His love never quits. Thank the Lord of all lords. You see, when you have gratitude in your life, it opens your eyes to who you've got around you. And how can you be envious or in competition with those that you're grateful for? It's impossible. And so God's love does two things. It opens our eyes to who he is, and it opens our eyes to who we've got. His love never changes, church, but it changes you from inside out. And his love isn't one-sided. You know, he wants a relationship with you. His love isn't one-sided. You know, he wants you to speak to him. He wants to keep you company on the long drive home. He wants to keep you company washing the dishes, taking the kids to school. He wants to keep you company, and he wants you to speak to him. Tell him today that you love him again, because it makes him smile. It's a two-way relationship today, that you're able to speak to him openly and honestly about your life. And the last point as we finish is this: that God's alarm is never on snooze. You know, he's constant through the ages. He won't fail. He's still the same. He's everlasting. He's never ending. And he has a plan for our lives. It's true. And Ephesians 2:10 says this: For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The question right at the beginning was, why? Why does he love us? Why? Why? And that's the question we ask ourselves. Why? How can he love me, the person that makes the mistakes, the person that hasn't got it all together, the imperfections that come through more than the things that are perfect, if there were anything? You know, why does he love me, not yet a finished piece? Why? And I came to this conclusion that it's because he made us. We're his masterpiece. He created us. And in Genesis it says this, that he made us and he saw that we were very good. So at the very least, you are very good to him. And that is your fundamental, your foundation of God's love in your life. I find it difficult sometimes to remember that God's in control and that he's got a plan. And OCD kicks in when I'm trying to control everything for myself. It's true. And I try and control the things and tidy and make things clean and organised because I forget that God is in control. And so often I need to go back to the drawing board and do what it says in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Time and time again. Time and time and time and time again. Again and again and again and again and again. He comes through. 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 His love never fails again and again and again. Think in your own life right now as we draw to a close. His love never fails again. It never quits. 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 It doesn't give up halfway through the marathon. It doesn't stop. It doesn't forget to pick you up after work. It's never running late. It doesn't desert us at our greatest need. It's there, ready and waiting. As we've read already, Jesus is at the door, ready and waiting. Amazing. And the last thing I'll say is this. Psalm 145. God's there, listening for all who pray. For all who pray and mean it. God's there, listening for all who pray. For all who pray and mean it. My last challenge to you this morning, church, is to be honest with God. To speak to him. Because he's there. Ready and able. You know, he'll never ever invade your life because he respects you. He'll wait for the invitation. He'll never override your sense of free choice and free will because he can't. Because he's a gentleman. He's a father that will never, ever, ever steamroll who you are. He'll wait for you. But as soon as you say yes, he's in. Ready and able. Why don't you stand with me? See, life is challenging. It's good and it's bad and it's ugly all at the same time. But there is a God of the constant that never changes. And his call to us, church, today to plant ourselves on a rock, not the sand, not the immovable. Sorry, not the movable, but the immovable. And he's our rock and our fortress. And I want to remind you of that this morning. And you may need to remind yourself that he does care about you. And there's two sets of people I want to pray for, right? And I believe that God wants to do something in your life this morning. And there's two sets of people, and those are people that forgotten that God cares, that you're walking through the storms of life and you've come to the end. And there's also the people that need to know that love of God again. To remind themselves that he is their Father in heaven, that he takes care of them, that he knows them before time began. And if that's you, right, I want you to lift your hand with me in a second. But the reason you're lifting your hand, that is you're opening to invite the love of God and the care of God back into your world. If you need that this morning, church, if you need that, then I'll ask you to raise your hand. If you want that, if you again need to cast your burdens onto him and say, God, I let go and let you, that's your opportunity. Let me just pray for you. God, thank you that you care and you're concerned for us. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. Without blemish, you see us, God, perfect. God, thank you that you're with us always, that you take care of us, that you lavish your love on us. And Lord, as we stand, arms raised, arms open, that is our sign of acceptance of your love and care back in our world. Lord, that when the inconsistencies come, we know we have a God that is constant through the trial and the change through to completion. And lastly, and finally, as I close, God wants you to know again that he's got a plan for you. That we forget that he's ahead of time, that he is time, he created time. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last, the first and the end, the beginning and the end. And we allow anxiety and worry to creep into our lives because we forget this, that he's got plans to prosper us and to harm us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And if you want to eradicate the worry from your life and bring a heavenly peace back where it belongs in your heart, then again, I want to pray for you. God, lift your hands if this is for you this morning. God, we thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace that we can't understand. Thank you for a peace that doesn't come from stuff, but a peace that comes from a Father that created us. And Lord, we ask this morning that you'd eradicate anxiety, worry, concern about our plans, because we know you are in hand. 10 seconds. Just ask God. Just invite him back in. Just invite him back in and ask him again to reveal his plans for your life. Remind you. Let him remind you. finally, because there's been a lot of ministry there, and finally, just stay with me for 10 more seconds. If you've never experienced the love of God before, if you don't know him as your Saviour, if you don't know Christ Jesus as the one that set you free, that there is this consistency that I'm talking about this morning. There's a constant in the trials that will never leave you. Like, people come and go. But I assure you this morning, there's a Father that doesn't leave, that is with you through the ages, that has seen me through so many challenges and trials, and is still with me. And I believe he wants to give you that same security as you accept him into your life. If you want to become a Christian, if you want to accept him into your life this morning, then this is your opportunity. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to be bold enough to lift up your hand, to make the first step. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you that it changes. Thank you that you're always with us. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.